The conventions, whether we love them or not, are this imperfect political institution that sometimes produce perfect political theater. And I don't just mean opportunities for Fleetwood Mac reunions. The conventions have been opportunities to look ahead and to see both where the party is headed or to see who, as, say, a rising star candidate, the party needs to catch up to embrace next time around to win. Last week, we looked at important convention moments that heralded the evolving identity of the Republican Party. This week, it's the Democrats. Once again, we welcome Julian Zelizer, professor of history and public affairs at Princeton University. When you talk about the Democratic National Convention as a defining forum for the modern Democratic Party, Zelizer says you have to begin with FDR and the convention of 1932.
I pledge myself to a New Deal for the American people.
That pledge, that New Deal pledge, still echoes down through history. Julian Zelizer, why?
Because you had such a severe crisis. In 1932, the economy had reached rock bottom. And Hoover, the Republican president who came before, really discredited the ideas of politics until that time. So FDR had this great opportunity to lay out a new vision of what the government's role was in American life.
And there are also moments at Democratic conventions where perhaps the country isn't there yet, but there's one lawmaker who is. The 1948 speech that Hubert Humphrey gave on civil rights in many ways set the tone for laws that would not really be enacted until the 1960s.
To those who say that we are rushing this issue of civil rights, I say to them, we are 172 years late. To those who say that this civil rights program is an infringement on states' rights, I say this, the time has arrived in America for the Democratic Party to get out of the shadows of states' rights and to walk forthrightly into the bright sunshine of human rights.
It was an incredibly dramatic and some say courageous speech. He called on Southern Democrats, who were the heart of the party, to accept civil rights and to stop talking about states' rights. And he said, if you don't want to do this, leave the party. And some do. Strom Thurmond bolts from the convention because of this speech and forms a third party. But it set the tone for civil rights debates for years to come.
You know, here's another sort of example of someone who gave a speech at the party who ended up being influential in what he said, but maybe not so influential in who he was. Here's Mario Cuomo in 1984.
President Reagan told us from the very beginning that he believed in a kind of social Darwinism, survival of the fittest. Government can't do everything, we were told, so it should settle for taking care of the strong and hope that economic ambition and charity will do the rest.
Yeah, in 1984, Democrats couldn't find their footing. They were on the defensive. Reagan was strong and the economy was starting to revive. And Cuomo lays out these arguments about what was wrong with Republican policy and how this was really a kind of class-based form of policy we were seeing under Reagan. And so Democrats lose. Cuomo never runs. But those arguments will come back in the Clinton years and through the current times.
Before we get to the Clinton years, I want to go back in time a couple of years. In 1980, this was an extraordinary event when Teddy Kennedy gave this speech in the middle of Jimmy Carter's attempt to get a second term.
Long after the signs come down and the crowd stop cheering and the band stop playing, may it be said of our campaign that we kept the faith. May it be said of our party in 1980 that we found our faith again.
That's Teddy Kennedy throwing in the towel.
Yes, Ted Kennedy had challenged Carter unsuccessfully, but he gives this speech where he says Carter is moving to the center, he's abandoning Democratic principles, and the party can't do this. And the speech was really well received, much more so than Carter himself.
All right, so moving ahead to Bill Clinton.
I want to build a bridge to the 21st century in which we create a strong and growing economy to preserve the legacy of opportunity for the next generation by balancing our budget in a way that protects our values. Tonight, let us proclaim to the American people we will balance the budget, and let us also proclaim we will do it in a way that preserves Medicare, Medicaid, education, the environment.
Almost sounds like Mitt Romney there, Bill Clinton back in 1996.
Well, Clinton essentially absorbs the arguments of the Republicans who took over Congress in 1994. He neutralizes their major claim that Democrats didn't care about deficits. But then he says we're going to do it differently and we're going to try to protect some of the key social programs.
How does the troubles that Bill Clinton, brought with him into the White House. How does that play in that convention in 1996? Because, of course, we remember the Clinton landslide, but we don't remember what was going on behind the scenes.
Well, the Clinton administration was very scared. The scandals are unfolding in many directions. And Bob Dole, the opponent, tries to make more of this. He asks where the outrage is about this administration. But the Clinton team can suppress this, and they make this a campaign about the future of the country and the party. And those scandals are put aside temporarily.
And here we have State Senator Barack Obama back in 2004 introducing himself to the American people at the Democratic National Convention.
E pluribus unum, out of many, one. Now, even as we speak, there are those who are preparing to divide us. The spin masters, the negative ad peddlers, who embrace the politics of anything goes. I say to them tonight, there is not a liberal America and a conservative America. There is the United States of America. There is not a black America and a white America and Latino America and Asian America. There's the United States of America.
So you might call that Barack Obama slot there the audition slot that the Democratic National Convention, even to an extent more than the Republicans, almost always has.
Democrats have never been as rigid in terms of who's going to be the next nominee. So it gives the convention a little more of an opportunity to highlight new stars.
Remind us of the impact that it had both in terms of introducing him to the country and within the Democratic leadership.
It was huge for the country. No one knew really who he was, and a star was born that moment and gave him the gravitas and the appeal to run just a few years later when he had very little experience. And for Democrats, it showed that he could do that. Giving a speech is what presidents do. It's what candidates do. And so that's why the conventions are still important, just in terms of seeing how someone performs in that very high-stakes moment.
And yet there's a great indeterminacy here. You know, Bill Clinton had the same trajectory. He gave what was a dreadfully boring and overlong speech when he was introduced way back in 88. And yet he did just fine.
Clinton couldn't have done worse in 88. I mean, people were literally cheering when he said he was going to conclude. But you can rebound and you can remake yourself. And he did it brilliantly and then becomes known as this very good speaker. But in 88, that's not what people were thinking.
Julian Zelizer is professor of history and public affairs at Princeton University.